Welcome to this edition of the Fireside Bookshelf. Join our host Ginger Green as she opens doors to the literary world, both past and present, featuring some of the best Christian books pertinent to believers and their pursuit of biblical truth. Each week, she will discuss selected resources which have touched her heart and life, with a hope they will enhance your study of the scriptures and encourage you in your spiritual walk. From foundational Christian truths to marriage and parenting, to understanding the times we live in, Ginger has assembled some amazing Christian authors, and each week we'll explore their works, all designed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ. And now for today's presentation.
It really is time that we Christians stop making excuses for our lack of biblical literacy, for our uncertainties about what God's Word truly says on one hand, and our quiet rebellion in ignoring it when we don't particularly like what it has to say on the other. And how many of us rarely speak up whenever the discussion turns to anything slightly religious or biblical because we are unsure of exactly what we believe and why we believe it, and are fearful that if put on the spot, we might not be able to defend our faith. If we are truly in the last days, as many biblical scholars believe, we do not have time to continually place our spiritual life on the back burner, letting the busyness and the concerns of this world overtake the only thing in this life which truly matters, our relationship to God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and our Helper and Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So let's agree together to make this a year we put our priorities in order and get to know the God in whom we say we believe, learn what He has to say to us in His holy word, and establish a strong personal relationship with His Son who was sent to redeem mankind. In an age characterized by skepticism and ignorance of the Holy Scripture, major Bible themes written by Lewis Sperry Chafer clearly sets forth the biblical truths and teaching that have long been cherished by Christians. It includes chapters on doctrines that merit particular attention in the contemporary religious scene, such as the Holy Spirit, the nature of the church, and the second coming of Christ. So come be a part as we search out this indispensable tool, which provides the biblical basis for 52 vital doctrines, simplified and explained, complete with topical and scripture indexes, with questions for discussion and review following each chapter. The book is written in a format which many of you know is one of my favorites, 52 short chapters perfect for tackling one major Bible theme a week. So whether your purpose is to explore Bible doctrines as a new Christian, to erase confusion stemming from conflicting views in the contemporary church, or to establish a stronger basis for growth and witnessing, major Bible themes is essential for study and reference. In the revised edition, John Walvoord made good use of some of the later writings of Lewis Sperry Chafer. Some chapters have been combined and a number of new chapters have been added. This edition of Major Bible Themes presents in simplified form the mature conclusions of a lifetime of study by Lewis Sperry Chafer. While some chapters in the revision are quite similar to the original publication, about 75% of the work is new. Many additional scripture passages have been added, and subjects omitted in the original are now included. It is suitable for private study, for Bible classes, and church study groups. It is designed as an introductory study in biblical truth. It is in no way intended to be a treatise on systematic theology. However, a number of the most vital and practical doctrinal themes have been chosen, and an attempt has been made to adapt these brief discussions to the needs of the untrained or uncertain Christian. It is hoped the list of questions that have been added to each chapter may make the studies more useful both to individuals and to groups. If you truly want to be versed on subjects, you will be able to look up the passages cited and continue to study each theme until you are comfortable in answering all the questions provided. What a wonderful way to spend a little time each week in this new year. Bible doctrines are the bones of Revelation, and the attentive Christian must be impressed with the New Testament emphasis on sound doctrine, as well as the New Testament's warning in 2 Timothy 4:3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. If we do not know the doctrines of the Bible, the child of God will be, even when sincere, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, led astray by the deception of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The many well-meaning believers who are drawn into modern cults, worldly philosophies, and heresies are sufficient proof of this caution found in Ephesians 4. On the other hand, the divine purpose is that the servant of Christ shall be fully equipped to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Listen as I share a few selections of my favorite major Bible themes, which were published with the prayer that they may honor Him whose glory and grace are supreme, and that some among the children of God may be helped more accurately to speak the things which become sound doctrine. Doctrine 1. The Bible, the Word of God. Even a casual reader of the Bible soon discovers he is reading a most unusual book. Although covering thousands of years of human history and written by more than 40 human authors, the Bible is not simply a collection of writings, but one book with amazing continuity. Its unusual character is due to the fact that it is indeed the Word of God, even though written by human authors. Two types of evidence are usually offered supporting the conclusion that the Bible is the Word of God. The internal evidence, the facts found in the Bible itself and the Bible's own claims concerning its divine origin, and the external evidence, the nature of the facts given in Scripture which support a supernatural character. Internal evidence shows that in hundreds of passages, the Bible declares or assumes itself to be the Word of God. The constant assumption of the writers of the Old Testament, the writers of the New Testament, and Christ Himself is that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Hebrews 1:1-2 not only affirms that God spoke in the Old Testament to the prophets in the Word of God, but to His Son in the New Testament. The Bible can be rejected only by rejecting its constant claims to being God's Word. The Bible not only claims to be the Word of God, but supports these claims by abundant evidence, which has so often convinced even the most skeptical of readers. External evidence shows 7 points of support for the Bible being the inspired Word of God. First, the continuity of the Bible. One of the most amazing facts about Scripture is that though it was written by more than 40 authors, living over a period of about 1,600 years, the Bible is nevertheless one book, not simply a collection of 66 books. Its authors came from all walks of life: kings, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, physicians, statesmen, scholars, poets, and farmers. They lived in different cultures, in different experiences, and often were quite different in character. Yet the Bible has a continuity which can be observed from Genesis to Revelation. The continuity of the Bible can be seen in its historical sequence, which begins with the creation of the present world to the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. The Old Testament unfolds doctrinal themes such as the nature of God Himself, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of salvation, and the programs of God for the world as a whole, for Israel, and for the church. Doctrine is progressively presented from its first elementary introduction to its more complex development. Type is followed by antitype, prophecy by fulfillment. One of the continued themes of the Bible is the anticipation, presentation, realization, and exaltation of the most perfect person on earth or in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Chafer writes, "To account for such an amazing book with its continuity of development on natural means would demand a greater miracle than inspiration itself. Accordingly, believers in Scripture, while recognizing human authorship of the various books, account for its continuity by the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Second, the extent of biblical revelation. In its unfolding of truth, the Bible is inexhaustible, like a telescope that sweeps the universe from the heights of heaven into the depths of hell and traces the works of God from beginning to their end. Like a microscope, the minutest details of the plan and purpose of God and the perfection of His creation are revealed. Like a stereoscope, it places all beings and objects, whether on earth or in heaven, in the right relation to one another. Although many books of the Bible were written in the early days of human knowledge, when its authors were not aware of modern discoveries, nevertheless, what they wrote is never contradicted by later discovery, and ancient writings of Scripture are amazingly adapted to modern situations. In its extent of its revelation, biblical truth goes far beyond human discovery, reaching as it does from eternity past to eternity future, and revealing facts which only God could know. No other book in all the world even attempts to present comprehensive truth such as the Bible does. Third, the influence and publication of the Bible. No other book has ever been published in as many languages and for as many different people and cultures as the Bible itself. Its pages were among the first to be printed as printing presses were invented. Millions of copies of Scripture have been published in all the principal languages of the world, and every written language has at least some portion of the Bible in print. Although skeptics have often predicted that the Bible would be obsolete within a generation, and even 20th century authors predicted that the Bible would soon be a forgotten book, it continues to be published in increasing numbers in more languages than ever before. Other religions have surpassed Christianity in the number of followers, but they have not been able to offer any written revelation comparable to Scripture. In our modern day, the influence of the Bible continues to be transforming. To the unsaved, it is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17, and to the saved, it is a cleansing, sanctifying, effective power. The Bible continues to be the only divine basis for law and morality. Fourth, the subject matter of the Bible. The supernatural character of the Bible is seen in the fact that it deals as freely with the unknown and otherwise unknowable as it does with that which is known. It describes eternity past, including creation before man was even in existence. The nature and works of God are revealed. In biblical prophecy, the whole program of the world for Israel and for the church is unfolded, culminating in that which is eternal. On every subject presented, its statement is final, accurate, and timeless. Its comprehensive nature has made its readers wise in truth that is related both to time and to eternity. Fifth, the Bible as literature. Considered as literature, the Bible is also supreme. It contains not only graphic history, but detailed prophecy, beautiful poetry and drama, stories of love and war, the speculations of philosophy against the finality of biblical truth. The variety of its authorship is matched by the variety of the subject matter. No other book as literature has so entranced readers of all ages and of all degrees of intelligent scholarship. Sixth, the unprejudiced authority of the Bible. The human authorship of the Bible has not resulted in prejudice in favor of man. The Bible unhesitantly records the sin and weakness of the best of men, and graphically warns those who rely on their own virtues of their ultimate doom. Although recorded by human pens, it is a message from God to man rather than a message from man to man. Speaking of earthly things and human experience, it also describes with clarity and authority things both of heaven and earth, things seen and unseen, revealing facts about God, about angels, about men, about time and eternity, about life and death, of sin and salvation, of heaven and hell. Such a book could not be written by man if he chose to write it. And even if he could, man would not choose to write it apart from divine direction. Accordingly, the Bible, though written by man, is a message from God with the certainty, assurance, and peace that only God can give. Seventh, the supreme character of the Bible. Above all else, the Bible is a supernatural book revealing the person and glory of God as manifested in His Son. Such a person as Jesus Christ could never have been the invention of a mortal man, for His perfections could never have been comprehended by the wisest and holiest of this earth. The supreme character of the Bible is supported by its revelation of the supreme character of history in the person of Jesus Christ. Because of the combination of human and supernatural qualities which enter into the Bible, a similarity may be observed between the Bible as the written word and the Lord Jesus Christ as the living word. Both are supernatural in origin, presenting an inscrutable and perfect blending of that which is divine and that which is human. They both exercise transforming power over those who believe and are also allowed by God to be seen as nothing and rejected by those who do not believe. The untainted, undiminished, divine perfections are embodied in each. The revelations which they disclose are at once as simple as the mental capacity of a child, and as complex as the infinite treasures of divine wisdom and knowledge, and as enduring as the God whom they reveal. Doctrine 30. The Four Aspects of Righteousness. Chafer reveals a vital difference between God and man, which Scripture emphasizes, is that God is righteous. 1 John 1:5. While the fundamental charge against man, as recorded in Romans 3:10, is that there is none righteous, no, not one. One of the glories of divine grace is the fact that a perfect righteousness, likened to a spotless wedding garment, has been provided and is freely bestowed upon all whom believe. Romans 3:22. Scripture distinguishes four aspects of righteousness. First, God is righteous. This righteousness of God is unchanging and unchangeable. He is infinitely righteous in His own being and infinitely righteous in all His ways. It is impossible for Him to deviate from His righteousness. He cannot look on sin with the least degree of allowance. The acceptance of this truth is vital to have the right understanding of the gospel of divine grace. God is righteous in His ways. It must also be recognized that God is incapable of slighting sin or merely forgiving sin in leniency. The triumph of the gospel is not in the belittling of sin on the part of God. It is rather in the fact that all of those judgments which infinite righteousness must impose upon the sinner have been borne in substitution by God's provided Lamb, and that this is the plan of God's own devising, which according to His own standards of righteousness is sufficient for all who believe. By this plan, God can satisfy His love in saving the sinner without infringing upon His own unchangeable righteousness, and the sinner, utterly hopeless in himself, can pass from all condemnation. It is not unusual for men to conceive God as a righteous being, but they often fail to recognize the fact when God undertakes to save the sinful, the righteousness of God is not and cannot be diminished. The second aspect, the self-righteousness of man. In complete accord with the revelation that God is supremely righteous, there is a corresponding revelation that in the sight of God, the righteousness of man is as filthy rags. Though the sinful estate of man is constantly declared throughout Scripture, there is no description more complete and final than is found in Romans 3:9 through 18. And it should be noted that this, like all other estimates of sin which are recorded in the Bible, is a description of sin as God sees it. Men have erected legitimate standards for the family, for society, and for the state. But these play no part in the basis upon which man must stand and by which he must be judged before God. In their relation to God, men are not wise when comparing themselves with themselves. 2 Corinthians 10:12. For not merely those who are condemned by society are lost, but those who are condemned by the unalterable righteousness of God. There is therefore no hope for any individual outside the provisions of God's grace. For none can enter heaven's glory who are not as acceptable to God as Christ is. For this need of man, God has made abundant provision through his Son. The third aspect, the imputed righteousness of God. Imputed means credited or attributed to, and it is essential to understanding both the principles which God condemns the sinner and the principles on which God saves the Christian. Imputation is brought about by the imputing or crediting of Adam's sin to the human race, with the effect that all men are considered sinners by God. Romans 5:12-21. This doctrine is further developed in the fact that the sin of man was imputed or assigned to Christ when he became the sin offering for the whole world. Furthermore, the righteousness of God is imputed to all who believe, so that they may stand before God in all the perfection of Christ. By this divine provision, those who are saved are said to have been made the righteousness of God. Since it is the righteousness of God and not man, and since it is said to be apart from all self-works or deeds of law observance, obviously this imputed righteousness is not something accomplished by man. Being the righteousness of God is not increased by the goodness of the one whom it is attributed to, nor is it decreased on the account of his wickedness. There then is a righteousness from God apart from all human works, which is unto and upon all who believe. It is the eternal standing of all who are saved. In our daily life we are far from perfect, and in this aspect of our relation to God we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The final aspect is the righteousness imparted by the Spirit. When filled with the Spirit, the child of God will produce the righteous works of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23, and will manifest the gifts of service which are by the Spirit. These results are distinctly said to be due to the immediate working of the Spirit in and through the believer. Reference has been made to a manner of life which is in one way produced by the believer, but it is instead a manner of life which is produced through the believer by the Holy Spirit. To those who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in them, for it could never be fulfilled by them. For almost a century, Major Bible Themes has blessed a multitude of readers throughout the world. In fulfilling the purpose of its author, the book has stated in simple and concise terms some of the major themes of biblical revelation, like the Trinity, the angels, Satan, and man. You will also find chapters on sanctification, the church, the Sabbath, and the Great Tribulation. It has opened a wide range of comprehensive truths found in the Word of God to countless students of Scripture. Won't you join them? Major Bible Themes, 52 Vital Doctrines of the Scriptures, Simplified and Explained, written by Lewis Sperry Chafer, can be found at your local bookstore or online, and is currently available in hardback, paperback, and digital format. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf.
If today's featured book has sparked your interest or addressed an area of concern for you or a friend, we hope you will consider adding a copy to your library of Christian resources. Nowadays, when busyness seems to be our business, we need to return to the lost art of reading so that we will continue learning more of God's Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only one who has the power to transform hearts and minds. The Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of sharing hearts and can be heard on this station every Sunday at 4 p.m. Past episodes can be found anytime at www.sharonhearts.org. Thank you for joining us, and tune in next week for our next exciting feature here at the Fireside Bookshelf.